Welcome to the Everything ECU podcast. I'm your host, Carla Ward, and joining me today is Heather Jackson, owner of the Sunflower School, and she is going to be talking all about verbs as projects, a concept that absolutely makes sense when you dive into it, but seems really unreachable when you first start out, and I'm so excited for you to learn from Heather today. Welcome to the show, Heather. I am so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Carla. This is now my third podcast I've done, and I just love the back and forth, the conversation, and yeah, I think it's going to be good.
Well, and Heather, I can't wait for you to launch your own podcast. Plug, plug there.
Yes.
We've been chatting off screen, and you just have that personality that where you're so easy to listen to. And I'm so excited for us to dive into today's topic. But first, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I'm the executive director and I own the Sunflower School here in Orangeville, Ontario. And we are Reggio inspired. So in 1998, I was really fortunate to attend a Loyalist College presentation about the Reggio. All the professors had gone to Reggio Emilia, Italy, had done the study tour. It was new to Ontario. And I sat there and watched these beautiful slides of children doing magical, amazing things. And I was like, how do I get our children to do these things? How do I get my staff? And at the time, I was the executive director of Milton Community Resource Center in Milton. And we changed our curriculum at that moment. And there was a number of us and we met together to relook at this. So during that time period when I was in Milton, I had gone on to do the study tours in Reggio. I had been to the Opal School out in Portland. I have been to St. Louis Reggio Collaborative. I had gone down to the Boulder Journey School in Denver. And then I had done lots of the NARIA conferences, which are all over North America. And so it took me far and wide. And I met people that I would never have met unless I had ventured out of my comfort zone, which was my little wall, my four walls of my schools, right? So it has been the most amazing last 5 years of, I think it just revitalized my career. I could never imagine. I feel like my career might have just been marginal up until that point. All of a sudden, it just exploded my thinking and my schools. So yeah, that's me in a little nutshell. And we also do lots of school tours. I do lots of mentoring. I go into Toronto to work with the schools that are in childcare that are interested in doing the Reggio inspired practice.
That's amazing. And I think it is just such a great opportunity that you open your school for people to see it, because a slideshow is great. But right. When you can see Reggio inspired practice in 3D, it really is life changing. Because when you said that you felt like it just took you to that next level, I can 100% relate to it. But it was trial and error, as I'm sure it was for you. You had to figure out what worked for you. But when somebody has an opportunity to come and tour, I think that is such a great way to expand our reach as early childhood educators, but also our knowledge visiting those schools.
Right. And I always tell educators when they come in, because sometimes it's like overwhelming for them. They're like, oh my gosh, we could never do that. And I show them how all of my staff are on their own journey. And I totally respect all of those journeys. And we do a lot of PD within house that we are looking at the Reggio inspired practice from a documentation, from play proposals, design time, all of the elements that Reggio talks about in their work. And so I want educators to know, yes, you come to our schools and they look beautiful and oh my gosh, how do we do this? But all of my educators are on their own journey. We've had some staff that are here for 14 years with us. And of course, their journey is way ahead of what you're thinking that you're coming into this. And then I have some new staff that have just graduated with their ECE and they're wanting to do something different. So I think that's the big part that I always share with, you know, this is a journey. This is not a replication. You don't just read a book about Reggio and redo it. This is our context. This is what happens in our schools, especially you think about us. We are here in Orangeville. We have a very rural community, but we also have a little bit of an urban community too, yeah. With our downtown is very vibrant. And so we have that fortunate piece, but that's our context. If you're in downtown Toronto and you're looking for a forest, it's going to be hard to find, right?
Yes, it is.
So we are very fortunate. And so it's not, you can't replicate it. And that's what they tell you all the time too. So yeah, I offer the tours as a way to start, as a way to see what's possible and that we can do this. And together
that.
In Ontario, right? I believe we're like the weekly themes and all of those, I think there's not depth and complexity to it. And it's such menial work for us as educators that with a Reggio-inspired curriculum, it makes you really think and really plan in a deep, thoughtful way with co-collaborating with your children, with your co-workers, with me as the executive director. I help lead the planning. And I think it's such meaningful work. And I have lots of discussions with my educators, you know, people that have been at other schools or centers. I always say schools, but it's centers for a long time. And then they come to us. And after about a month, they're like, I had no idea early childhood could be this fun and so inviting and interesting for me as an educator. I always felt like I was the cleanup person or, you know, that menial work, whereas you should be doing deep research work with your children. And so that for me is amazing and so encouraging that there is hope that we will move away from weekly themes eventually.
Oh, amen to that. 100%. And it's never too late because I was an ECE for, oh my gosh, I want to say at least 10 years before I moved from theme to Reggio. And it really changed it because by the time I got to my 10th year, I mean, I had my themes down. September, apples, you know, October, pumpkins, we had those themes down. We had the bins. And when you've been doing it for 10 years, you think, is this it? Like, yes, the children change year after year, but like, is this my life for the next 10 years? And when you suddenly switch to this Reggio-inspired play mentality, the connection with the children changes.
Right.
Your love of showing up to work changes because it's still predictable, but it's that new, exciting unpredictability that we love in life. Yes. And it makes you fall in love with being an educator again.
Yeah. And it's that interesting and important work. And I always talk about interesting and important work. It's so vital for us as educators, but for the children, how many times are they going to see apples in September? I was that educator. I had my apple bin. And I remember, I always say I had 52 weeks of the year planned out. Honestly, I had my little book and I had it all planned out. I had circus in there. I had Arctic animals, like you name it, I had it. And when I moved to this curriculum and started thinking about the children's interests, and I talk about children's intentions more than interests.
Ooh, yes.
And I really challenge that interest because I always think, you know, as in how does learning happen? They talk about follow the children's interests. Mm-hmm. But if a child has been home all weekend in January, weather's bad. And maybe they're at grandma's for all weekend. Guess what? Grandma's got TV on. And guess what we're doing? Watching Paw Patrol for all weekend. So guess what they're going to be doing Monday morning when they come?
Amen. Paw Patrol.
It's got its value, but, and I'm a grandmother and I know at 5 o'clock in the afternoon at sometimes we need to have Paw Patrol on, but to come and take that as an educator and say, oh, that's what the children are interested in. Let's do Paw Patrol. That is definitely not the intention of following children's interests. So I talk about intentions more than the interests of children. But yeah, so definitely changes your life, changed my life that I am excited to go to work. And I've been in the field 40 years and I'm excited to this day to go to work.
And it's just so nice to hear that as somebody who hasn't even hit 20 years yet. I'm in my 19th year and it's like, okay, we can do this.
Yes, yes. And there's hope that all of us across Ontario can do this. And I'm on that track to help everybody. So
anyways. Yes. And you are here today to talk about something that is new to me in terms of the concept. And I'm just, again, this is what makes me excited, is that learning piece. And it's to talk about verbs as projects.
Yes.
So what does that actually mean?
Okay, so right now I'm in the process of writing a book called Actions of Play with Red Leaf Press. We're in editing right now. The writing piece was not easy, but it was a lot of work. But editing is a totally different animal. Oh. And it has been, I think the more stressful part of writing a book is the editing part. Because when you start doing the edits, then you're like, okay, I'll change this. Okay, I'll change that. And then when it gets back to the editor, she wants changes to what you've just newly written. So I've been like, stop, just stop. It is excellent the way it is. Let's just follow her edits and then we go on. Anyway, so it's Actions of Play. And back in 2015, I'm going to say, I attended a little session about the Reggio. And in those days, it was new and there was just little groups of us doing work and trying to figure it all out, because it is a figure out kind of curriculum. It is not something that you open a book and say, oh, that's how you do it, right? It is definitely not. It is more about theory and research. And then how does it relate back to your children? So we were meeting and I have a great friend, her name's Rosalba, and she owned a little school called the Acorn School in Richmond Hill. And there was probably 10 of us in that group one Saturday morning, some of my staffs, and then some other kindergarten teachers. And we were talking about getting away from those units of study and weekly themes. The kindergarten teachers were like, I want to change in that weekly or the units of study. What does that look like? So we started talking. And this wonderful educator who had been a kindergarten teacher for like 20 years, she said, right now we are looking at the nouns. Maybe it's not a noun. Maybe it's a verb. Because, and my brain went, whoa, that is amazing. And I took that and I have been working with it since 2015. So how does it work? Let me give you an example. So at one of my schools, we have a lot of fire trucks that come into our driveway. We are attached to a seniors building. And unfortunately, fire trucks come with the ambulances, right? So the fire trucks come and the kids are like run to the fences. They're screaming. They love it. The firefighters turn on the, you know, sirens. They do all kinds of stuff for our children. And so I remember having a new educator and saying, we should do a project on fire trucks and firefighters. So I, with my sort of starting knowledge of the noun instead of the verb, I said to her, okay, what is it that's fascinating the children, really fascinating them? Is it in fact the fire truck, or is it, what's a verb that we can create from the fire truck? So we started thinking about the movement of a fire truck. So there's moving. Then we started the sounds, all the sounds that happen within the fire truck. And we finally figured out it's the movement and the tires. So instead of having that, so if you're doing a web, a fire truck is your center, you know, web thinking. And then you're going to cut out pre-cut shapes of fire trucks and we'll paint on those fire trucks.
We'll put some red stuff
and on the easel, we'll put some red paint and we'll turn our dramatic play into the beautiful fire station with fire hats and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, I did that. Oh my gosh.
I'm dying over here. I'm feeling so like, I'm like, have you seen me teach?
I know they're out there. I know those places are out there. Anyway, so then all of a sudden your room becomes fire truck and fire trucks. And so the kids are, you know, spending 2 minutes on their pre-cut shape. They're, you know, they're throwing the stuff around in the dramatic play, but it's not really deep thinking. If you looked at it from a moving perspective, how many things move? So how can we create moving in our classroom? All of a sudden it becomes ramps and balls, tires. You just, all of a sudden, it gives you a bigger lens to think about curriculum. It gives you a bigger place to go and lasts longer, because you're doing a fire truck for a week. That's all you're doing. And if you're lucky to get 2 weeks, because maybe you're never going to see a fire truck again for another how many weeks, right?
Right.
And you've taken away that interest for children. But if it's about moving, You can recreate that moving outside, inside. How do our bodies move? How do animals move? Then all of a sudden, the moving become, and for 2 and 3 year olds, that is huge. And that moving always, for me, I always try to add the flying, because I know when a 3 year old jumps off a rock or a stump, he thinks he's going to fly, right?
So when I was probably 4, I thought I was Tinkerbell.
Yes.
And I jumped off, and this was the 80s. So this was like a little, everything was a little more relaxed.
Yeah.
I jumped off of a shed.
Yes.
I don't even know how I got on top of the shed. All I know is that I jumped off of it thinking I was Tinkerbell, and I thought I was going to fly. So 1000%, there is some things that have changed since like childhood, but one thing that doesn't change is a child's imagination and that want to fly, or, you know, be a mermaid underwater. Like that those movement. Are two things that are constantly in motion.
Yes. So you add that to your big web of flying, because that's going to happen. And so you're watching for that. And how are we moving? How does our bodies move in the winter storm? How does our body move in a rainstorm? Like there's so many places to go that it opens your lens for curriculum 100%. So I always think about the noun as very linear. It's very people, place, or thing, very specific. You know, it's the CN Tower. Like if you've done a project on CN Tower, weekly theme, it's really limited. But if you look at it from a building perspective, all of a sudden the building piece becomes massive, because you're building with blocks. You're building, like it just opens up the lens for a bigger project.
And it's so much more inclusive. Because to say that, you know, all 24 preschoolers are interested in fire trucks is unfair to assume, right? And this just opens up so much for, you know, the child that could care less about fire trucks, or, you know, the child that struggles to comprehend what a fire truck is. This is, it's just such a, you're just opening so many opportunities.
Yes. So I always tell my educators, okay, it's not about, so I have a great story about the moon, and it's one of my favorite stories. When I do presentations, I always tell this story. So we all have the stories, right? And we all have those early childhood stories. And so it's reframing them and looking at them differently. So I was out on the playground. It was September. I had a group of kindergartens. They were all going on the bus to go to school. So we were waiting for the bus. And we're on the playground and we're at the gate. And Milo, he comes out on the playground, and he was always really inquisitive child, just really always wanting to know stuff. And you always have that child. And so he looks up at the sky and he sees the moon. So it's like 8:30 in the morning. Sun is out and he sees the moon. He says, "Heather, why is the moon in the sky?" And I look up at the moon, and I, like, honestly, inside of me, I'm like, this is the first time I've ever seen the moon in the sky. During the day, I had never noticed it ever in my whole life. And so I'm thinking, oh my God, is it some catastrophic thing that's happening? The moon is coming towards the earth and we're all going to die, and no one's told us. And so I'm looking, and I'm a good ratio educator. And I said, "What do you think, Milo? Why do you think the moon's in the sky?" It's not my job to answer. I don't answer any questions. I always throw it back.
Well, interesting.
And so, what do you think? And so he's looking at the sky and he's like, nothing. And the bus comes, he gets on. Tuesday comes, same thing. "Heather, the moon is in the sky again." And now we've got other children interested in this moon again. And I say, "What do you think, Milo?" Again, no answer. Other children are answering, "I think my mummy put it up there." And just like all kinds of crazy, wild answers. And somebody said, "Oh, that's not the moon, that's a cloud." And like, I'm just listening, being my good ratio educator. And so then next day, same thing, exactly same thing. "Milo, what do you think?" Nothing. We get to Friday, and his mom at this point is now, "Heather, why is the moon in the sky?" So I had already Googled it, because I was like, okay, why is that moon in the sky? And it's a full moon too. And so I Googled it, and I'll tell you at the end of the story why the moon's in the sky, if you don't know already. So
I have no idea.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. Friday, same thing. And I say, "Milo, what do you think?" He tells me he forgot to go to bed. Oh my God, my
That's
brain
awesome.
Just went crazy. at that point, I was like, this, and again, I'm on the verb track here. This is not a project where I'm going to find out all the facts about the moon and we're going to paint the moon and we're going to do all these things about the moon. This is a storytelling project. Now, yes. Storytelling is your verb. And so he would come back after school and in the morning, and he told me the most beautiful story about how he forgot to go to bed. And so I typed it all up for him, made it into a book. He illustrated it. This is a kindergarten that's going back and forth before and after school. And then all of a sudden, the other kindergartens, we want to write a book. So they were telling me stories about the moon. So they had created these beautiful books about the moon and their stories about the moon, why it's out in the sky during the day. And then it just went from there, because now they were bringing books back from kindergarten about the moon. Look at Heather, I found a book about the moon. And so we were reading these stories. And it was amazing. Like, it just took off. And so then storytelling became part of the year. And the moon was forgotten and mm-hmm. other things took hold, right? So the moon is in the sky because it's called a harvest moon in September and October. And it's a full moon. And it is the closest to the earth during that time of the year. Yes. And it's different other times of the year it's out too, but that's the biggest, that's the full moon is out there.
But there, imagine you go. If you told him that on the Monday, he got on the bus. Okay. Yeah. And done.
That's what, like, Heather said.
He learned one little piece of information, right? But now not only did he create this story along with the other children, there was a love of literacy developed.
Yes.
There was curiosity developed. There was a love of learning developed. Yes. Like, just that is one thing that I definitely noticed when I changed to Reggio inspired yeah. learning, was that love of learning. And I just, yeah. I love this concept of the verb.
Yeah.
It makes so much sense.
Yes. Yes. And so what ties also is play schemas. So I'm very interested in play schemas as well. And again, a great colleague, Cindy Green from Seneca College at the time, introduced me to play schemas, and it became a passion for me because, again, they're verbs. All of those play schemas are verbs. And so I did a lot of research and reading about it. And so for our toddlers and infants who are participating in these play schemas, it became what project work was for them, is doing the play schemas and really tying into what is it our toddlers are doing. I have a little quick story about in their beginning days of verbs. She was 18 months, taking her shoes on, putting her shoes, or having the adults put her shoes off, putting them back on, taking them off, putting them. And it was driving the staff crazy. They were like, oh my gosh, this is like, she is not keeping her shoes on. And so at one point we were like, okay, just leave the shoes off. But then she was upset that she couldn't put them back on. So she was trying to figure out connecting, disconnecting, undoing, you know, attaching, unattaching. So those are all play schemas. And so I suggested, let's get a basket of big shoes that she can just put on herself, take off herself. She can figure it all out. And all of a sudden the shoe taking off stopped and she was more interested in the basket of the shoes. So play schemas are part of children and what they're doing. And even as adults, we still do a lot of play scheming. So for instance, as a kid, I loved building forts. My brother and I built forts all the time. I remember pulling out the bottom level of our linen closet on those rainy Saturday or Sundays. And we had this fort all built in there and we'd have little tea party and whatever. I love that. But as an adult, I love camping. Like my husband and I go camping. And I love being in my trailer. Like there's something cozy, but that's enveloping, right? So that, and enclosing. So that's a play schema. And that's what some children are doing as well. So play schemas have a huge part in project work and can be very positive. And that child that dumps is looking at how materials move. So that child that's dumping all those toys, and everybody knows that sound when there's 1,000 Lego out of a bin goes onto the floor. That's called trajectory. So that child is looking for the movement of materials. And so let's give him a positive way. Give him ramps and balls that he can move rather than the dumping of the toys, because he's still going to do it. It doesn't matter. He's trying to figure it out.
And it's science, right? Like, yeah. And this is where I get so frustrated with our public system is we are explaining things in a two-dimensional or, you know, teacher to child Like, this is the information. You need to understand it without ever actually doing anything.
Yes.
So the more we can do in those early years in our programs to give that hands-on experience, the more they can visualize. Because as much as I would love to change our public system, it's an uphill battle. I can change how I behave in my kindergarten class in a three-dimensional way.
Yes.
And it just, it gives them that tangible learning. Yes. And it's so crucial.
It's so important. And so, and my book really gives you lots of stories from our classrooms, our work, which it really gives you that visual, right? And I think as early childhood educators, we need that visual to say, okay, what does it look like in a classroom?
Yes.
And so my book has lots of stories about the classrooms and the moon stories in there and lots of other stories. But if you look at spring, for instance, right? Yes, we're going from winter to spring. So what is that? What is it really? And what is it that the children are fascinated with spring? And it's that transformation, which is a play schema. So you have the transformation of our playground. Like even this morning, we still have little patches of ice. And so now we're transforming that ice and moving it and getting rid of it so that our playground can now become our spring playground. So transforming like rainbows, how does the sky transform into a rainbow, right?
Yes.
Can you imagine the answers that your three, four, and five-year-olds are going to give you and the pictures and the drawing that's going to happen? It's magical when you think of it from that perspective rather than, oh, let's do spring. No, it's about transforming, right? Yes.
And it's the thing that reminds you why you're in ECE, because if I wanted to work in corporate at a desk, I'd work in corporate at a desk and, you know, have those grown-up conversations, but that wasn't the path I felt I was destined for. And, you know, when a child tells you why a rainbow is a rainbow or, you know, asks you what your favorite dinosaur is,
right?
You have that moment in your heart where you're like, and this is why I'm an ECE, because I want to be asked my favorite dinosaur.
Yes.
I want to be asked why my shoelaces are red, because that's interesting. It is so much more interesting than talking about staplers.
Yes, yes. And I love their creativity. And so I was really fortunate 3 years ago, I took myself out of the office and I decided I'm not doing licensing, not doing health department, not doing all those forms anymore. I've worked in long enough in this field. And so we started a half day program. So it's called, we call it Makerspace. And we have 12 children. And I work with my coworker who has worked for us for 14 years. And so she is amazing to work with. Denitsa, if you're listening, I love every day working with you. She's very creative. And so we are able to really focus in on the Reggio inspired and verbs and play schemas and transforming our program. And so the pictures you'll see on my Instagram, my Sunflower Studio Instagram, are from my Makerspace program. And so I've been able to cultivate so many stories and so many beautiful moments within our classroom that it's the book really highlights those stories. And I, as an educator, I would be like, oh, this is doable because I remember this happening, right? And that's what I want, is that you look at it and you go, I want to change my practice. I want to change what I do on a day-to-day basis. That's my goal. If anything, as I retire, move into retirement, it is I can help educators look at our curriculum as something different than weekly themes. And I'm not saying you have to do the Reggio inspired practice, but emergent curriculum and looking at projects rather than themes.
Using those verbs. I love it. And it's comprehensible. And I really, really like that, because you hear Reggio inspired or you hear nature school and immediately you go, it's so overwhelming.
Yes.
But just start with the verb.
Right. And like even something simple, like we can have this conversation right now, you and I, like colors seem to be this weekly theme. This week we're going to do red. How can we change colors into a project with a verb? So what is it that fascinates children? So you and I can have that discussion, because this is what I do with my educators.
Yeah.
So what is it that fascinates children about colors? What does it fascinate me as an educator, as a person, about? You can see, I know nobody can see me the way I'm dressed, but I love color. I love color. And so, what does it look like as a verb? What do colors and your weekly colors, what does that look like as a verb? Can you think of?
The first thing that comes to mind for me is mixing. That seems to be what happens in my room a lot, or when I was
Yes.
in the classroom, is
Yes.
mixing. It's not
Yes.
one color,
Yeah.
it's the process of putting them together.
Yes. Excellent. So that's just one. Like you could do transforming. How can we transform red into blue,
Yes.
right? Like transforming is another, but the mixing. So now the middle of your mind map or web, whatever you want to call it, how can we incorporate mixing? And I also use lots of research questions within our
Love
work.
it.
So how can we incorporate, which is in my book too, explains how to use a question in your project work. It's not, oh, we're going to do colors. No, how can we incorporate mixing within our classroom? So now mixing becomes the center. And then what are all the things that we can mix to make color? What are all the things from mud to clay to paint? Like there's so many things. And that's when your imagination as an educator becomes excited about doing a bigger work than just, oh, we're going to do the color red this week. But red can be a thousand different colors. And, you know, from the crayon box, from a marker box, from artistic markers, red is so many different shades. One of the things that I do when I'm looking at mixing colors is all of the children get to mix their own. Say, for instance, we're working on green right now. And so green is prevalent because we have the grass, we have our trees are turning, there's little things happening on our trees. So if you're looking at green, so how many different ways can we mix green? So can we mix green in 100 different ways, 100 different languages of children? And so everybody has their own little container. They've put in different colors. They're mixing, mixing, mixing. Now they get to name their color. And so they name it everything from frog green to grass green to whatever green that they think of, even if it's yucky green. They have all different colors of green. And now we're painting with those greens. So those children have made those colors. You know what power you're giving to children? That it's not the teacher that has made all these colors and I just get to paint on them. I've actually made that frog green for my friends, and now we all get to paint with it. So I think it just lends itself to a different way of being with children.
Agreed.
And even something as simple as colors can be
Oh,
a verb.
yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I know you can be looking for the verb now all
just
the
all the time. And it's funny because I think about even Crayola colors. So
Yeah.
I think I have read the name of every Crayola color because
Yes.
my students loved
The
giving
names.
me the pencil and being, well,
Yeah.
what's this one called? And they would understand that, to your point, you know,
Yes.
there's different shades of red, there's different shades
Yes.
of green. And it's moments like this, like conversations like this, that make me miss being in the classroom
Yes.
because you
Yes.
just want to dive in and be like, yes,
I want to
right.
do this. Yes. And how
Yes.
exciting they find it, right? Just to
Yes.
mix their own color. And what color green did they create, right? And then it's got the little bottle, and we've got, you know, frog green on there made by Tessa, right? And so yeah, it is a total different way of looking at curriculum. And
And as soon as you put a child's name on something, there's that sense of belonging, right?
All
Right?
of that foundations for the how does learning happen? Totally.
Yes. Oh
They've
my
experienced
goodness.
it, they're engaged, belonging.
I love it. Now, Heather, when is this fabulous book coming out?
So we are in editing our final edit. They have to now put it into beautiful with all our pictures and picture. The book will have a lot of pictures
Love
from the
that.
classrooms. And so they're saying the fall of 2024 by the
Awesome.
time it's all done. And it'll be on my Instagram. So I'm the sunflower underscore studio. And I'm going to actually, I just got a copy of our cover and it was like, this is real. And yeah, so I'm very excited about this part. And it goes over everything from verbs and how to use what's a research project that we did in school. Well, you can do that with preschool children and toddlers and infants. And then how to use questions and looking at the intentions rather than the interests of children. And that explains deeply in our book.
Love it. And we'll make
Yes.
sure that the link to your website, the link to your Instagram are
Oh.
all below this podcast so that
Perfect.
people can stay updated and
Yes.
purchase the book when it's live.
Yes, I'm excited for that. Yes, thank you,
Awesome.
Carla.
Well, Heather, thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. This was wonderful, exciting. I love my work. And if you didn't feel it, I definitely love what I do. And who can say that after 40 years? I think not a lot of people, but I'm
No.
very fortunate.
And it's inspiring to know that because I
Yes.
think, especially so many of us are still struggling coming out of COVID, and to know that there is still joy to be had in early childhood education as the educator.
Yes.
We just have to look. Awesome.
Thank you,
Thank
Carla.
you.
Thank you so much. This was great.